Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Here's orbit motion. Nico. CJ gets the snap. Throwing downfield, and it's picked off. Kamu Grugier-Hill, the former Texan, has it at the 20-yard line, bottled up there. Stroud's first pick of the year. Bad time for it. Never a good one. Mullins wondering if they have to snap the ball again. And they don't have to snap the ball again. It is over in Minnesota. The Vikings throttle the Texans 34-7. Houston takes its first loss of the year and gets back into the division next week with a home date against the Jaguars.
All right, that was Mark Vandermeer on the call, obviously. That was technically the first play from scrimmage. The Kamu Grugier-Hill interception, because there was a penalty on the very first play.
Of course there was.
Hold on Cade Stover.
Yes, Cade Stover, who was tasked with blocking the very best pass rushers on the Vikings yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant game plan.
That was the first play, and then the last play, Nick Mullins genuflecting. 34, and not much good happened in between. 34-7, the final score yesterday. As we welcome you in on a Reaction Monday, and man, is there a lot to react to today from that game yesterday. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. I ask this with much trepidation. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. It's hard for me to move beyond some of just the idiocy and get into the deeper level stuff with this team. But there are issues that would prevent this team from certainly winning a Super Bowl. If the Vikings are in the Super Bowl, this is going to be one of those old school Super Bowls where it's not a competition at all. Remember when the Super Bowls were just the disgusting, pathetic displays
the whole
of
80s, man.
The great American sport, right? Yeah. Kids, there used to be a time when the Super Bowl was the worst game of the year continually.
Never competitive.
Now, it's week three. That Vikings defense did many of the same things to the 49ers the week before. Made Brock Purdy look just like he had no answers at times. Like CJ Stroud yesterday looked like he had no answers at times. So I'm trying to remember that, but there's some consistent themes that keep popping up. I honestly wish the Texans could have played that game without so many idiotic, boneheaded things done by the offensive line that I could move beyond that. And then I really wish the offensive line had taken some measure of accountability for it afterwards. It's not a surprise to me that these guys are talking about, like, well, you know, they didn't tell us that they were going to call us for lining up too deep in the backfield. Did you watch any football at all this year? Did you watch the very first game of the year? It's a point of emphasis. And offensive linemen have known now for a couple years since they started emphasizing this that all you got to do is check with the official.
Who is that on?
That's on Laremy Tunsil. That's on Titus Howard.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you check with the official. You're like a receiver. You check to be sure you're okay. But then, too, these guys are talking in the post game about how it's unfair and they're being targeted by the officials. I'm sorry. Does that include the false starts? Is it new this year that you're not allowed to leave before the snap of the football?
Right.
So that, on an offensive line that's just disjointed and messy,
yeah.
I mean, you've got a point where you're using Cade Stover to block Jonathan Greenard, mostly so you can turn your protection back towards the interior offensive line, which is so awful. And they had no answers versus the Vikings defense. And you've got to keep, I mean, they're using 7-man protection where, like, only 3 of the guys know how to actually pass block.
Yeah.
You might as well just spread it out and go air raid on them and try to do something that way.
I think, the two most frustrating things from a team standpoint, we'll get to individuals here in a second.
Yeah.
Because, boy, is Laremy Tunsil taking some, and rightfully so, from Texan fans everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as the team thing goes, to me, the two most frustrating things, one, that game yesterday, we said it after the Bears game on Sunday night. If they play this way against Minnesota, they will get beaten. They will get their skulls thumped.
Yeah.
They played that way against Minnesota, and they got the, like, you could have seen this one coming. Don't commit a dozen penalties. You know,
they got one shy. They were only 11 this year.
Oh, is it 11?
One was declined.
Oh,
Laremy Tunsil's illegal formation.
Declined.
That when they had 4 straight penalties, when they knocked themselves out of field goal position with 4 straight penalties, Laremy was declined.
That's
at the
right
end there.
Okay, yeah. So it was only 11, yeah. So that's frustrating, number one, is that, hey, man, like, the warning signs were all there, and you did nothing about it.
Yeah.
You did nothing about it. Number two, This is supposed to be an explosive offense. I was told that the acquisition of Stephon Diggs and the continuity that was kept in the coaching staff, the acquisition, I know Joe Mixon didn't play yesterday, but Diggs in particular, CJ in year two, and through three games, I keep hearing about, well, teams are playing these two high safeties again. You know, teams are playing two high safeties against everybody these days.
Right.
Where is the counterpunch?
Where is the running the football?
Are we just going to sit here and complain about how they're getting covered and how they're getting treated scheme-wise?
If the defense is allowing you, and the Vikings did this less so than in the first two games, but if the defense is allowing you to run the ball, basically, then just go ahead and run the ball. But they're lost. They're lost in a lot of ways. This is on Bobby Slowick ultimately, because that offensive line is by far the weak link on this football team right now. I'm trying to think of a position group. Offensive line. And it's the lowest common denominator on this offense actually being any good. It is true. Look, it's one thing to be limited a little bit in your offense, even though you have these three wide receivers. But now, after three games, in which two of them, you really haven't done much offensively at all, you got to look at it and say, look, there aren't any excuses. You've got Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, and Nico Collins out there. And yes, they spread it around a little bit yesterday. They got some more guys involved. But it was just a complete non-performance.
Yeah, they were down double digits
and even when things, I mean, three of the first six series were upended by offensive penalties.
Yes.
Offensive line penalties. Yep. And or just, I mean...
Laramie Tunsil. They were upended by Laramie Tunsil.
And that's the thing. This has been a consistent theme with Laramie Tunsil through his career, where, great, you're a great pass blocker, but on these critical drives, you kill drives with your false starts. Like, you easily, it's as good as giving up a sack. You go from 3rd and 3 to 3rd and 8. You do all these things that negate the good things you do. And then in the run game, I mean, there's just no... I just worry the guys like, I think like young guys like Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green can develop into some good players in the NFL. And yet the example they have set for them is these guys that want to be like diva offensive tackles. It's just the strangest
thing. And they've been rewarded for it.
Yeah, they've been heavily rewarded for it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the tricky part.
Like, who are your most swarm like? At any point this season, are Laramie Tunsil or Titus Howard going to be in the circle of swarm?
Oh, God, no.
I highly doubt it.
It's a long season. But they're not even close right now.
And there's a thing, too. You know, it's like sometimes as a defense, you go up against certain offensive lines where, you know, as a defensive player, you're never intimidated by an offensive line. But you know when you're going into a game where you're like, yep, it's going to be a hard hat week.
It's going to be a long day.
I got to be ready to go. I'm going to be battling today. And as good as Laramie Tunsil is in pass protection, I can't imagine there's a single guy out there who's like, oh, we're in for a bloodbath this week.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, we better be ready. Yeah, screw this guy. I'm going to. It's finesse. It's a finesse. This is an offensive line that wants to be finesse, and yet they're not good at the finesse either. It's like some rich kid that's taken fencing lessons his whole life, and then all of a sudden he thinks he's going to show up in a bar room, and then he gets hit upside the head
with his little sword.
Yes, with his little foil. Hold on, foil. Good sir. Yeah. Yes, I have a foil, and then he gets cracked upside the head with 40. Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's hear from C.J. Stroud. This was C.J. As long as we're talking about the offensive line, here was C.J. Stroud saying, we can't be in third and long all the time.
No.
Can't live on third and long, especially against a defense like theirs. They cause a lot of issues on third and long. You have to give yourself a chance, and, you know, you keep shooting yourselves in the foot and just moving backwards. you know, you're not playing complimentary football even for yourself. So, you know, I don't know exactly. I can't just tell you right now what the issues are up there. Has to be conversation, you know, away from, you know, the game and just meetings and just seeing what, you know, what we can do to be better when, you know, it's loud and, you know, how intentional we have to be at practice and things like that, just to get those things fixed. Cause, I mean, we're moving the ball. It's just, you know, you're kicking yourself out the red zone and kicking opportunities and, you know, and it's hard to live on third and plus 10, so.
See, it wasn't CJ's best day. I'll preface what I'm about to say by saying that it was not CJ's best day. That was not CJ Stroud's fault yesterday, I don't think. Like, he could have played better for sure. These were the third downs, their first nine third downs. You ready for this, Seth? Third and 7, third and 10, third and 11, a third and 7 that went to third and 12, thanks to Laremy Tunsil, another third and 12, a third and 4 that went to third and 9, third and 14, and third and 19 because of three false start penalties on three different players.
Yeah.
A third and 10 that went to third and 15 because of Laremy Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, the two that went just 1 5-yard penalty,
they
got first downs on the actual plays. For both of those. Like, Xavier Hutchinson had a 16-yard catch.
Right,
Tank Dell had a 17-yard catch.
They
so it wasn't the 5 yards.
Yeah.
It was the 17 that you would have gotten to get the first down. So that was just in the first half. They averaged third and 12. The first two third downs of the second half, third and 16, third and 11. The best they had was third and 7, and that was on their very first third down. Other than that, it was third and double digits literally every single time.
Yeah. It's and part of it, too, is when you watch – and you see, and you wonder, all right, with this defense, where the defense, if you guys can envision in your mind just how it looks with the Vikings and a lot of defenses right now, everybody's at the line of scrimmage at the snap. And then immediately everybody, all these linebackers will bail out. There's opportunities there. And we saw, even on that first, the second drive, where he hits, CJ hits Stephon Diggs. And like, but it's work. Like, you got to find those soft spots. As the linebackers are dropping back into their spots, there are openings there. But if you want to try to utilize a bunch of quick guys out on routes, the problem is you've got two tight ends in the game. They're both blocking before they leave on routes. The running back has to block before he leaves on a route because the offensive line cannot be trusted to do a damn thing. A damn thing. Whether it's physically blocking one-on-one or picking up the blitz or handling something as simple as, oh, the offense or the defensive line shifted right before the snap. They can't be trusted. And it's just, it's the one funky gear in the machinery that's screwing everything up right now. And that's on Bobby Slowick. That's on Chris Strausser. And frankly, honestly, when we listened to Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard both after the game talk about how, oh, apparently they're emphasizing this illegal formation this year.
Laremy Tunsil's exact quote from Aaron Wilson on the illegal formation. You ready?
Yeah.
They tried to make an example out of us. The first 2 weeks, we lined up the same with no problem. Now it's a problem. I feel like somebody told them to make an example. Laremy's got to stop with the victim stuff.
Yeah. No, he's the most penalized offensive lineman in the league.
He's been doing this for 4 years now.
Yeah. It's the victimhood is not going to play.
No.
It's like an 8-time felon being like, well, they're looking for it out of me. I just, you know, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I just, you murder 8 people and all of a sudden they're on watch for a 9.
Apparently that's a point of emphasis with the police.
And it was a point of emphasis from week one.
Yeah.
And it is as simple.
Just watch football.
All the offensive tackle has to do is check. But that's where it's on Chris Strausser, the offensive line coach.
Yep.
I'll tell you another thing. Juice Scruggs and his stupid head bob. Yeah, that should have been flagged.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when they go to silent count and the center lifts his head up, you're not allowed to jerk it back up because it's like simulating a... It's trying to...
Like you're getting out of your stance.
Yeah. So, like, on one, you lift your head up. On two... And he did the very same thing the next play.
Yeah.
These guys are either not accepting the coaching or they're not even being told or coached about this stuff. It's bad, man. That's on Slowick. That's on Strausser. That's on certainly the veteran leadership.
Yep. We'll get to more Texans. I thought CJ had some good perspective after the game that we'll get to. It was bad all the way around here in Houston yesterday. It wasn't just the Texans. We'll get to the Astros as well. We'll get to some headlines later. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. It's a Reaction Monday. Stay there.